Well, thank you for joining us on the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. This is Pastor Domenico Denisi of Rescue and Revive Ministries. And once again, we thank you for joining us for 25 minutes of gospel-centered conversation. And the guest today I have in studio is David Vargas Jr. I want to tell you a story, David. You know, the first time, this was a few years ago, because we've been doing this, the radio program now for about 6.5 years. A few years ago, I contacted David Vargas, but not David. And I was communicating with your father, not thinking it was you the whole time. And he was like communicating like, yeah, man, I'm sorry, I can't go. But I'm like, I don't know him that well. So yeah. That would have been a more difficult interview, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, it's David Vargas Jr., not to be mistaken for David Vargas Sr. But thanks for coming in after work, man. Great to see you. I want to just start off with talking about some things. As I told you earlier, this is gospel-centered conversation. I know you well enough now. How old are you again?
32 now.
32, bro.
Years young, yeah.
Young enough to be my son, literally. Literally. The days are passing me by. But let me start off with this. You've been on, last year, you went on the Rescue and Revive Crusade, which is how Rescue and Revive Ministries actually started. And put you on my team of evangelists. There's two team of evangelists. There's a prayer team. And talk a little bit about your experience, because you said some things to me that really stood out. But talk to the people a little bit. Facebook Live, it'll be on WYSL, airing on Sunday nights. Just talk a little bit about your experience on your first Rescue and Revive Crusade.
I'm happy this is coming up, because forgive me, but I might find many occasions to preach. Seriously.
No, that's great. That's a great thing.
Yeah, I can't help myself. Sometimes, I'm criticized for it. But I've been talking about this, actually, a lot at my church and with people.
That's great.
And the beautiful thing about evangelism and witnessing is that no matter, I was terrified. First of all, let me say that.
I didn't know you were...
I was terrified.
Can I just say, you're like the second or third guy who told me. You got to ask Mike Maller. Now, he's going to be a missionary in Panama, but he tells his testimony of how terrified he was the first time, and it's hilarious. I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know you were terrified, but continue from there.
No, this is how terrified I was. I've never felt fear the way I felt.
Okay.
Honestly, like, it was almost crippling. Like, you know, I just told you.
I don't mean to laugh. No. He said he was shaking.
Me too.
Mike said he was shaking.
Yeah.
He grabbed one of the guys before the first stop.
Yeah.
It was like, man, you got to pray for me. He's like, and one of the guys, Bob Falkowitz at the time, prayed for him. And he said, as soon as you got out of the car, boom, conversation right away. But go ahead, pick up from there.
No. So this is, you know, I just literally told you, like, I might find occasion to preach, right?
Yeah.
Preaching has never been an issue for me. Like, especially like if you tap a well, I can just go and go and go. And when I went on the Rescue Revive trip last year, that was the first time where I'm like, I have nothing to say. Like, it just crippled
fear. I'll tell you something you said a lot the first time.
Yeah.
And you know what it is, because we were at University of Maryland. I'm like, David, come with me.
Yes.
You know what you said a lot? Jesus loves you.
That's how I like. Hey, you know why?
Right.
You know, so
yes.
Hey,
man. Hey, it's good. Go ahead.
This is one of my favorite testimonies. This is 12 years ago. I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
I was living in New York City. I grew up knowing about the gospel. Pastor Neum.
Of course.
That's my uncle, right?
I didn't know that.
He, at the age of 13, before he even became a youth pastor, he gathered up all his nieces and nephews, all his little cousins. All
right.
And he did Bible studies with us. He taught us how to pray.
Everything.
Everything. Like, he was a pastor
a good man.
To us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until this day, I still call him my first pastor.
Yeah.
But I'm 20 years old now. This is 7 years later. I'm completely backslidden.
Yes.
All right. I'm trying to be a drug dealer.
Okay.
In New York City. And I just was not thinking about Christ at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And I'm in the bodega, in the corner store. I'm literally going to buy a cigar.
Okay. Yeah,
to smoke, you know, to smoke. And I'm about to buy some beers, and I'm just about to have a good time. And this lady, she comes up to me. Young lady,
Yeah, sure.
And she comes, she says, listen, I have to tell you something. Jesus loves you.
Wow.
And.
Wow, that's amazing.
Listen, I know for some other people it might not, like, really matter. But for me, it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was not thinking about Christ.
Oh, of course.
And it shook me. It was just simple mantra, Jesus loves you.
So that was that seed so long ago, 12 years prior, that kind of came back when you stepped up on that bench in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And that was coming up. And, yes. And let me tell you this, man, before you talk a little bit about the crusade, I told you the second time, I remember when you preached in Baltimore.
Yeah.
No, I remember that. I pulled you aside. I go, listen, man, I'm going to be real honest with you.
Yeah.
That was 1,000 times better. Yeah. It was a huge difference. So even what was the difference between the first time you open-air preach in Maryland and we go to Baltimore and it was way more confidence in the Lord.
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, so we had already been ministering, for what, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah.
You know, and so that alone is just doing it.
Yeah.
And as this is something I always tell people, as we're pouring out and we're you know witnessing, God is pouring in.
Yes.
And so I was a little bit more comfortable when we got to Baltimore.
Right.
I was kind of into the flow of things already. I do wish I do a podcast on Thursday or a Zoom Bible study on Thursday.
Wow.
And there's so many times where I have notes in front of me.
Yeah.
And I just veer off the notes, just being spirit led and just start preaching.
Sure.
And I'm like, Lord, why can't this happen while I'm doing an open-ended sermon?
Yeah.
And so, Baltimore was better, but I still wasn't happy with it. I wanted to do better.
Well, you did
well.
I had
a testimony about that, too.
You did very well.
Thank you.
I could tell the first time, and I kind of put you in the fire, obviously the first time you do anything, naturally, spiritually, it doesn't matter what it is, you're not going to be as sharp, as good at it. But I saw huge progression and growth. And like you said, it comes with experience. But the thing that stands out to me really is I didn't understand. I understand the fear, the shakiness and that years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, when Mike Maller shared how scared he was the first time, and I don't remember telling them this to him, but he was like, I told him, hey, Mike, don't worry, I'm going to put you with the thoroughbreds. You know, and so he had all these guys, Aaron Hilliard and Julio, these guys were raring to go. And he said, he pulls over and gets in, he's shaking, he's sweating, he's this and that. And I didn't know that you had maybe you weren't that bad, but like that. But it does go to show you that when you do something, I've often said this, there's nothing that stirs up demons more than open air preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Still now, whether it's at Camry on Thursday nights, Monroe Avenue, doesn't matter where it's done. You preach in the open air, I'm telling you, you will see things start to happen, manifest, so to speak. And people don't understand that unless they've done it. So you want to talk a little bit about some of the spiritual warfare you experienced in the crusade?
I think fear. I think that...
It's a big, powerful
fear. Because the Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. A spirit, that's a spirit,
right,
but a power, love, and a sound mind. And so that alone, I think that was an experience in regard to, dealing with the demonic realm.
Yes.
You know. But also, when we were in at the University of George Washington, was it?
Yeah, I think we were.
Yeah, and we were on that four-corner little part of the college campus, and there was the ladies just yelling out of the window.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
I remember that well.
Yeah, and I was like...
It's a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day, but they were just like, for no reason, just antagonizing, saying things that were just inappropriate, not respectful.
That's like a manifestation right there.
Yeah.
It is, honestly. Yeah. That's definitely a great example.
Yeah. There was another one. There was another one where we were, just handing out tracts. And, obviously people can hear you, saying Jesus loves you or giving the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Jewish guy. He said, listen, that's for the Gentiles. I'm Jewish. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
There was another lady. She was wearing all black. She said, I worship Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I love Satan. And we actually got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're out there.
Yeah. But you know what? For the most part, on that Rescue and Revive trip, there was a lot of, I feel like God had his protective hand and his hand of favor upon us.
Always, always. A lot of people, I've been teaching through the Psalms at church, and a lot of times the psalmists, the writers, they talk about God being a fortress, a dwelling place, a refuge, and that's really the truth. And people, that fear part is where people get hit. And if you never take that first step, nothing ever gets accomplished. But if you could just take that first step, you could just open up your mouth. Like you said, Jesus loves you a lot. Hey, somebody said that to you years ago, had a dramatic impact as you were about to, smoke a blunt, drink, whatever the case may be. So it's wonderful to hear people get through that, get past that. Because mm-hmm. there isn't a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, an open-air preacher that doesn't experience that. Mm-hmm. For me, I know on Monterey, still 7 years in Monterey, we go, you know what I think about? What if somebody sees me, my business, mm-hmm. this and that? So I've already made the decision. If someone were to see me and I lose business because of it, so what? So be it. I already made that decision. Mm-hmm. And you have to take a stance and just realize, hey, I'm going to go past. Doesn't matter about reputation. Doesn't matter about title. Doesn't matter about if I look foolish. I'm doing this for the cause of Christ, right?
That's right.
It's going to be foolishness mm-hmm. to those that perish, but to us to believe, it's the power of God unto salvation, man. Let me turn a little. I'm glad you're coming back. I'm a little surprised just because you know the season of life here, but I'm very happy. Yeah. Very happy. One more thing, crusade wise, before I shift it. Mm-hmm. You said something last year when we were hanging out one day. You said something along the line. You were shocked at the unity or how this could happen mm-hmm. that all these men from different churches could get along and do this work.
Yeah,
talk a little bit about that.
Not only does evangelism cross denominational lines, mm-hmm. but one of the things that impressed me most mm-hmm. was that it wasn't just like regular men or like you know laymen. All these men who came together, they're leaders in their church, right?
Yep.
And a lot of them are used to being like the top leader,
right,
if
they're
you
the
will.
Director, right? Yeah, they call the shots,
right? You know, the administrator, yeah. And they were all willing to come under the submission of Rescue and Revive mm-hmm. Ministry mm-hmm. and submit to your leadership, your mm-hmm. plan, and that was. I've never seen that before, especially, you know, other people who grew up in the church and they see all the politics that go on.
There's a lot.
You know, people leave churches due to mm-hmm. leadership issues. Mm-hmm. They leave churches due to egos. They leave churches due to pride. Yet here is a ministry that has no building, mm-hmm. right? And men are coming together under the submission or the authority of Rescue and Revive mm-hmm. for the purpose of evangelism, you know.
It's the rescuing the lost, reviving the saved, the everlasting gospel. It's the gospel. Uh-huh. It's so the gospel, it's always the gospel at the center. And it's a kingdom ministry. That's what I try to remind people. So to connect what you were just saying, praise God for that. I think because the mission has always been the same, it's never been about a church, an individual, or even Rescue and Revive. Rescue and Revive has been the conduit for the kingdom of God and for Christ to be exalted so that the power source, the gospel, could be used to rescue those that are perishing and revive those that are saved. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why, honestly, because I know that what you're saying, mm-hmm. and it's the humility also of the men mm-hmm. and the women on the prayer team, because I've talked with Pastor Greg about this too. It's the humility of Christ in these people, including yourself, that say, you know what, this is not about me, it's not about anybody else, this is about Christ. And they humble themselves, and we're able to serve and glorify God in spirit and truth, proclaim the gospel, man. I believe
Amen.
That.
Amen. You know?
Let me thank you again. I'm excited you're coming on the team. This year, for those of you listening, we have 12 evangelists, two teams of six. One of the teams will be led by Evangelist Julio again, prayer team led by Pastor Greg, made up of men and women, going out September, I believe it's 13th, the week before us. If not, it's the week before that to pray. We're going to all 8 Ivy League colleges in the Northeast, Yale, Harvard, Dartmouth, so on and so forth. So keep us in prayer. Let me take a right-hand turn as we're halfway through the interview.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it goes by fast, man. I tell people, that's why I only have 2 big chairs here now.
Yeah.
There's only be one person at a time. But let me take a little turn. Let's talk about Hope Christian Fellowship, because they're ministry partners of Rescue and Revive Ministries. You have Hope Christian Fellowship, the main campus with Pastor Alfonso Gavano, who he'll be filling in at when I'm on crusade.
Yes.
That's Sport Bible. And I just preached there a couple weeks ago. Loved it. And then Hope Christian Fellowship Eastside, Pastor Luis Diaz, very good friend of mine, came to Kenya for the first time, raised money for our work in Kenya to purchase land for an orphan. So this is gospel-centered ministry, man. This is kingdom ministry.
Amen.
You're part of all of this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Hope, though. Hope Christian Fellowship's done something I very well that I haven't seen many churches do. They're very prayerful and patient, and they're very intentional about, they actually planted another church. It's not a satellite campus in the sense where the pastor's on the screen.
Yeah.
But it's Pastor Lewis pastoring another church with the name Hope Christian Fellowship in a different part of the city. You're part of that.
Yeah.
Talk about that, how that plant was. It's a few years old and your role there.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because I was actually, I had sat down with Pastor Alfonso Galvano. First of all, I want to say that I love him very much.
Yeah, me too.
I consider him a friend. I consider him to be a Paul. Uh-huh. He's had a huge impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And I still call him my pastor.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I sat down with him and you know, just told him like, hey, I feel like God is calling me to leave.
Yes.
Right? And I think God in his providence did that because me and him were so close that I think if, and he said this himself, that if I were to stay, I would be the next Luke. Wow. This is what Alfonso goes on. And, you know, I feel like God had already told me through the scriptures that I would be in a season of development for 16 years. Yeah. And so, you know, I think because of that, God was calling me to leave HCF Northside, that's what we call the main campus, and go, you know, look for another church. While I was looking for another church, they launched out Pastor Lou, and I didn't want to go to Eastside.
I
didn't.
Yes, but it's a new work.
Yeah. But, you know, I felt God called me there. Pastor Mew, my uncle, actually told me, like, I feel that this is God, where God wants you to be. And so now that I'm there, my goal, and it's been an absolute blessing to be there. I'm part of the core team.
You're a leader there.
Yeah, with three other brothers, to working alongside Pastor Lou, Minister Ishmael, Fletcher, Josh Tumanelli, and Deacon Martin Castretta.
Yeah.
And it's been a blessing because I'm actually reading a book called Planting Growing Churches in the 21st Century. And I didn't even know this. Like, I knew this, but it's nice to see that when someone writes a book who's educated, they're, you know, they have a PhD and, you know, whatever, that they talk about what to do to plant a growing church, and you find that your church is doing it. And it's like, wow, that's a blessing. And he talks about how all churches should focus on these four things: evangelism, discipleship, communion, and baptism.
Wow.
And here's the thing: if you're evangelizing, you're going to be baptizing new believers, and if you're communing, you're going to be discipling the believers that you baptized.
That's a good word, man.
You know, and so that's for me being part of the core team, sharing this with Pastor Lou. I have to you know, give major props to Pastor Lou, because he's a great leader. He doesn't micromanage.
No.
You know, he's the type of person, you bring something to him, he's like, do it. And then he's like, do it, just do it. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, I'm telling him, hey, I'm reading this book. And he's like, share everything that you read in the book. You know, and so I've been sharing with him, you know, those four things. And, you know, we had the Weekend of Hope. And July 27th, 26th, and, or 25th, 26th, and 27th, where it was focused on evangelism and outdoor worship.
Yep.
Then just recently, we had baptism yesterday, and then after the baptism, we did communion. Well, we did the love feast. We didn't do the communion part because we got, you know, but we're going to do it next week. But, you know, just the feasting around Jesus Christ and just talking doctrine and theology with the brothers and sisters, that's beautiful.
This is beautiful.
We're doing it in a home setting. You know, it's more intimate, relaxed, and
it's beautiful, man.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Julio, evangelist Julio is on right now, and we appreciate you too, man. Love you. We'll be spending 5 days with you pretty soon on the crusade. Julio's been leading the team for years now as part of the Rescue and Revive Ministries crusade. So thank you for that. You know, having the opportunity to be part of that outreach, I told Pastor Luke, because we had launched this last week, and I said, listen, man, I've done a lot of those type of things. I've done a lot of these outreaches, but honestly, I really sensed God in that one. There were some wonderful things that happened. I don't have time to get into them, but just with individuals there, and that one gentleman that showed up from down the road that said he was a warlock or witch, whatever, and that was just one of many. But, you know, Jesus said, I'll be exalted amongst the heathen, amongst the nations, and when you go outside the walls and you lift up Christ, you see God work. It's different than the church walls. Church walls are great, but it's different. I really believe this is a time and a season where we have to continue to do that. The time goes by fast, bro. I have to get to this next topic in my mind. I want to talk to you because you're in a season of life I walked through.
Mm-hmm.
I have 18 years on you, and I remember being your age, and I remember people calling me a young man. I was like, man, I'm 32. I'm 35. Younger. You are.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you have three young children and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
If just within 2 or 3 minutes, talk about the challenges of trying to raise a young family, three young children, with a godly wife who's also serving. Talk about the challenges and how you get through them. Do that just in 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. The challenges is balancing ministry, work, career,
yes.
Family time, spending time with the brothers and sisters in Christ and counseling and, you know, things of that nature. That's the challenge because you want to say yes to everything, but you can't say yes to everything because if you do, it's going to cause issues.
So how do you balance it? You said the challenge is balancing it all. How do you do it?
I have to be really considerate of my wife.
Amen.
And then my wife has to be considerate of the calling as well. And so we compromise a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of compromising. I ask her before, you know, I run a lot of things by my wife. If someone says, hey, Dave, can you do this? Let me talk to my wife. Or even if I don't say, let me talk to my wife, I'll say, hey, you know, like for today. I say, hey, Pastor Domenico invited me to the interview to the interview for Rescue and Revive. Are you okay if I go? It shouldn't be too long. My wife says yes.
That's good.
Other times, she might say no. Mm-hmm. You know, on Friday, a brother invited me to lunch, and she said, only if we can go. And so she came, you know.
That's good. That's good.
Putting Christ first in our relationship, you know, via prayer, via studying the scriptures, and applying of the scriptures. Yeah. The hardest thing in marriage to do is apply the truth of the scripture.
Application.
Yeah.
Application. So that's absolutely the case. It's not just hearing it, it's but doing it, living it. And there's nothing that replaces that witness of your walk to your children either.
That's right.
Just saying that yesterday. It actually is the witness of your walk to your children, I believe, will have a bigger impact than anything else. Because you're going to mess up.
Amen.
You're going to mess up. You're 24/7 with them. But if you can be consistent with your walk, your children will see. They'll see, and part of that consistency is them seeing you fail miserably, repenting, going back and asking forgiveness from them.
Absolutely.
People forget that.
Absolutely.
They say, well, you did this. Yeah, but when you messed up, did you honestly have godly sorrow, repent, and say, I want to apologize to you for this. I was wrong.
Yeah.
And your kids get to see the fragrance, experience the fragrance of Christ when that happens. I'll just pass that along to you. That's key, man.
Man.
You know?
We could talk on that a lot.
I know. We only got 4 minutes. We'll talk off camera. But but it's just the truth of being a husband and being a father and being a minister.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot of apologizing is what I've realized.
Absolutely.
You do a lot of apologizing, and that apologizing continues to humble you. Because you realize apart from Christ, like the Apostle Paul said, in you dwells no good thing.
Mm.
So you have to continually to press in, seek the Lord while he may be found, and he continues to mold and shape you. Here's where we're at now in the interview. It goes by so quick, but I always ask every guest the same question to end.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and here's the question. I'm going to give you longer than most because I've been around you. 60 seconds. Most of the time I'll give 30, but 60 seconds in your own words. There's just a couple people right now on Facebook. There might be more, but the podcast, this will get posted on different groups, and it'll play on the radio on Sunday nights, 11:30 p.m. on WYSL for the next month. In your words, in your language, if you could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those watching and listening, you got 60 seconds.
This is what I would say, that the Bible says, he who does not believe in God, Christ Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, is condemned already.
Hmm.
And this is something that's been heavy on my heart. The Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But it says before that God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but this is the condemnation, that the world has seen the light come into the world, and that they loved darkness rather than light. And I will say this, in today's day and age, everyone says love is love, and, you know, God's not going to punish me for what I love, and that is an absolute lie. God is calling us to love him and to hate sin, and if we love the things of the world and we love darkness more than we love Christ, that is the condemnation. That is our guilt. And it's okay to say, God, I don't love you. I do love these things of the world. But to pray means to exchange my will with God's will as he imparts faith. So, Lord, help me to stop loving these things and help me to love you.
Amen.
This is the prayer that we need to encourage others to pray.
Amen. That's a good word. You took John 3:16, 17, and 18.
Yeah.
And you know, in those three verses is the gospel. Man.
That's right.
You said it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son his son into the world to condemn or judge the world.
That's right.
But the world through him might be saved. Those who do not believe are condemned already. People miss that, though.
Amen.
You said, why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
That's right.
And so that's a simple, beautiful nutshell gospel there. I appreciate that. Miss Schuster's on there as well. You know her. She goes to Hope Christian Fellowship,
oh, yeah.
Pastor Galvano's main campus there.
I love you.
I want to tell you quickly, we've got 60 seconds. Please pray for the Rescue and Revive Crusade. It started, this is the 10th one coming up. This is how this ministry just passed 7 years ago. Picture's right up there, David, August 13th, 2018. The Crusade started. That was the seed of this entire ministry. There was no radio show. There was nothing before the Crusades. And I want you to just pray as we go to these Ivy League schools and we go to the marketplace. We're going to be having our own Sunday morning service on that Sunday, September 22nd. Our prayer team is going out. It's such a blessing. And I want to invite you, September 7th, the Moose Lodge in Henrietta. Anybody who watches or listening, the Moose Lodge at 6 p.m. on September 7th is our Rescue and Revive Evangelism Crusade dinner. Follow the cloud service. We're going to have open air service, free chicken dinner for everybody. We never charge, freely receive, freely give, like the gospel. And so please come on out to that September 7th. Please pray for us. If you've given one prayer, $1, 1 cent, one thought to this ministry, those of you who have served, there's so many, we say thank you in advance. Thank you for helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great evening.
God bless.